Condition Black by Gerald Seymour. Read by Brian Cox. She walked briskly in front of him, through the swing glass doors, then paused to allow him to collect his key. There were Americans in the lobby, sitting over guidebooks, discussing the day's tourism. Two of the men eyed the girl with envy and admiration. She touched him for the first time, slipped a hand through his arm, allowed him to walk her to the lift. She seemed to him to be flushed with youth. To the stranger in the city, far from home, she was beautiful. It was only an hour since they had met, his second evening in Rome, and he had been sitting in a bar opposite the hotel when she had taken the stool beside him. They had had three drinks. She had told him her charges, and he had learned and forgotten her name. In the lift, creaking towards the third floor, the girl slid her arms around his neck and eased her pelvis against his. The man's briefcase was on the hotel room dressing table. A faint anxiety nagged at him. He was held in trust by his employers, and those people demanded his caution in return for his freedom to travel on their business. He laid his raincoat over the briefcase. He had no reason to believe the girl was even aware of it. He paid her. He shoveled the 100,000 lira notes into her hand. The girl, slowly and teasingly, took the clothes from his body, and alternately from her own. He emptied himself into her, into a contraceptive. He fell away from her and slept, easily, swiftly. He had no awareness of the girl slipping from the bed, dressing fast in the darkness. He slept on as she put the key to the room into her pocket. She closed the door with great gentleness behind her. The lift ahead opened. There were the same group of tourists who had seen her take the man through the lobby. The man dreamed. The sun shone in the brilliant day of his dream. He did not wake as the door of the hotel room opened, nor stir until there was a hand across his mouth. The scream stayed stifled in his throat. His legs thrashed. There was a knife blade, on a short arc, hard down into the sheet. The effort grunt from the man who used his strength to drive the knife down through the splintering ribcage until it pierced the heart. The sheet over his body soaked up the blood spurt of his last life spasm as the knife was withdrawn. Zulfikar Khan, age 39, resident of Baghdad, Republic of Iraq, the man who had won admiration for his teaching at the University of Cairo's Department of Nuclear Engineering, lay dead. A gloved hand lifted the man's briefcase from beneath his raincoat. When they left, they hung outside the door the notice requesting that the occupant not be disturbed. At the end of the road, a crowd had gathered to watch the police and the counter-terrorism team. They stood quietly in the rain. The road that was blocked off was residential. There were good-sized villas hidden behind high, whitewashed walls. Ehrlich paid his taxi and shouldered his way through the crowd. A policeman shuffled into his path. Ehrlich said quietly, FBI, excuse me, please. He kept on walking. Ehrlich had known Harry Lawrence since the fall of 88. There were not many in the agency that he would call a true friend. He had thought of Harry all the way out of Rome to Leonardo da Vinci, all the time he had sat on the Alitalia to Athens International, and in the taxi out to the Kefisia suburb. Now Ehrlich stopped and stood still, absorbing every detail of the street. Best done at the very start of an investigation. You poor old son of a bitch, Harry. It would have been a pretty road in spring, with the blossom on the trees that lined it. The leaves were down now. He knew very little of what had happened, had been out of touch since the first report had reached the embassy in Rome, and he had started running. They always sent a Fed when an American citizen was killed, and the Rome office covered Athens. There were
sample complete. Ready to continue?